Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Thursday edition of the show. Glad to have you with us. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. Lot to get to. It's game day, most importantly for Indiana. They will open up their play in the Big Ten Conference Tournament tonight against Penn State, who got past Michigan last night in the opening night of Big Ten Tournament action. And we all know that the Nittany Lions have had the Hoosiers' number so far this season. Penn State beating Indiana at Penn State's place and then coming to Assembly Hall for the win there as well. I think it's a different Indiana team. I think it's an Indiana team that's playing much better. And I tell you what, I would not want to be Penn State trying to beat a Hoosier team for the third time this season and trying to beat a Hoosier team that seems to be playing a lot better here the last four or five games or so. Of course, they've won four in a row to close out the season. That's something we'll talk about today. Also, it's official. Kenny Payne is out at Louisville. We expected that to happen at some point yesterday. It had not happened when we had our show in the 11 o'clock hour yesterday, but he is out. It's official. The Louisville job is now open. Ohio State, obviously, is the only Big Ten job open at this point, and we'll see what happens. But I'm going to talk a little bit about that in our opening segment as well today here in just a few moments. Let's look at the lineup for today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one here in just a moment, our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll dig into the game tonight. We'll talk about the Big Ten tournament bracket, college basketball madness going on right now with conference tournaments. And we're headed from now, Thursday through Sunday, through the end of the weekend, all sorts of great conference matchups. And, of course, Sunday we'll find out the NCAA tournament pairings as well. Again, if Indiana's in it, if they can make some kind of crazy run, great. I know that that would appease a lot of fans that are hopeful that this team that's hot right now can find a way into the tournament somehow. But I think it's likely they don't make the tournament unless they win the Big Ten. I know there are some that think they can make it to the championship game. Even there, a loss would get them into the tournament. Not sure that I agree with that at this point, but a lot can change between now and Sunday. Indiana's got a lot of games to win regardless if they want to put themselves in that position to see. But it does feel like an Indiana team. I would just be flabbergasted if they lose tonight. I don't know why. I feel that they're playing better. I just don't think that Penn State can beat them for a third time this year. But we'll see. Regardless of what happens with Indiana, though, it's going to be a fun week of play and really geared up for the NCAA tournament. Can't wait for things to get here next week. Let's look at the lineup today, a service of Honey Baked Ham. After the headlines, we'll get into our guest today. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall will join us in segment number two. We'll talk IU. We'll dig in for the IU-Penn State game tonight. We'll preview that game, I should say. And then later in the show, Steve Kerberg, former head coach in the area, great Southern Indiana basketball gentleman, and friend of this show. He's going to join us here as we talk Jeffersonville headed to the semi-state and other local topics of interest as well. There's just a lot to get to. It's a fun time of year for the high school game as well. I was thinking about that last night, and I've said this on the show, but I got to spend 3 days at Seymour for sectional week. We broadcast basically every game in the sectional, had a local team involved the way things played out. That's one of my favorite places to be. In the month of March, I've been as a broadcaster, a coach, a fan, a kid, an adult. I've experienced some great moments in that facility, so it's always fun to be there. Then on regional weekend, I got a chance to go down to South Ridge in the old Huntingburg Memorial Gymnasium, Sunken Bowl-style gymnasium, which is just awesome. And I wasn't sure what the crowd would be like, but it actually was pretty good. It was a great environment for both of those games. Of course, the Jeff game, we were there to broadcast on the radio, so that was fun. And now getting ready this weekend to go up to Chrysler Arena in Newcastle, and I was thinking, it has been a long time since I broadcast a game there. I was in high school with Mr. Lee Kelly sitting on the sideline there broadcasting a Hall of Fame tournament. New Albany was in that tournament and lost ultimately to Sean May and Bloomington North in the championship game that night. But it's been many years. I've been back in that gym with New Albany. We played in a Hall of Fame Classic and won it with Romeo Langford. Played an ESPN game against LaPorte La Lemire. That was just a crazy deal to take on a non-IHSA school with all that talent and for the game to be on national television. Just some great memories there. And, of course, the Hall of Fame is a wonderful place to visit in Newcastle. It's in many ways the capital of hoops in our state with all the history that is celebrated there and how wonderful that Hall of Fame museum and the updates and the renovations have been. I can't wait to see it all again this weekend. But what a tour of gyms. And Jeffersonville, the team, they've been on this same tour as well. They've got to practice in these venues. They've got to spend a lot more time in there than what I have, so envious of those guys. But having success in the tournament is Jeffersonville, and getting an opportunity to really play in some of the great palaces in Indiana is pretty cool for them. So we'll talk about that with Steve Kerberg later in the show. That's the lineup today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check out their great sandwiches and soups and salads that are all made fresh daily, and they'll surely satisfy any craving you have. You might even be able to find something to take home for a dinner package. They've got great dinner packages. Give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Thornton's text line is open. We love to hear from you. Questions, comments, predictions on tonight. Are you as bullish on the Hoosiers as what I am? I get asked a lot when I'm out and about, what do you think about this team? You know, what are they going to do in the Big Ten tournament? Normally, I'm not very predictive in a good manner when it comes to Indiana, but I just feel like it could be not only a good game tonight, but a good week for the Hoosiers. I don't think they're going to win the tournament, but I would be surprised if they don't win a few games. That's just the gut feeling that I have. We'll see if I'm wrong. Very likely could be. Tonight, Penn State, though, that game will be here on the Big X as well. And back to the Thornton's text line. Love to hear from you. Do you feel as good about Indiana's chances tonight as I do? 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Questions, comments, predictions, could be with IU, could be with other things, whatever you want to talk about. You can just take your phone out, send us a text, 502-414-1450 on the Thornton's text line. And let's get into some headlines today here in this opening segment of the show. Indiana and Penn State tonight. Let's go back to the regular season. The Nittany Lions winners two times in the series. They beat Indiana 85-71 in Bloomington, and then more recently, an 83-74 win in University Park, the home of Penn State. The Nittany Lions are 16-16 overall, and tonight's game will tip at 9 p.m., which means the pregame coverage and interviews and all the things you might want to hear from Don Fisher and the IU radio crew will begin at 8 o'clock here on the Big X. So you can tune that in tonight and listen to the hour-long pregame of pregame coverage before the game tips off tonight. Indiana, number 6 seed tonight. They'll take on Penn State, who beat Michigan last night 66-57. That was the last game, the second game on the first night of play. And today, in just a few minutes, Big Ten tournament play tips off here. We'll go through the bracket today and kind of give you some thoughts there in just a moment. But the play is basically all day. There's, I think, two sessions, the morning session and the evening session. Of course, Indiana's the nightcap in that evening session coming up later tonight. But a fun day of Big Ten hoops, that is for sure, coming off of the first day of play yesterday in Minneapolis. Hard to believe the tournament is in Minneapolis. It just doesn't feel right when it's not in Chicago or Indianapolis. Those are the two places that traditionally the tournament has been held. I know they've ventured out to different places much farther on the East Coast or up to Minneapolis. I know there's other plans for where the Big Ten tournament will head in the future, but Indiana and Chicago, Indianapolis, and Chicago. Those are the two places where, for the Midwestern footprint of this conference, it just feels right for things to be. But let's look at Penn State. In the average of those two games, Penn State with 84 points over the two games against Indiana. Back at Assembly Hall, Penn State was 12 of 22 from three-point range, which is really outstanding. And they were 9 of 21 against Indiana when they hosted the Hoosiers more recently at the Bryce Jordan Center. In two games, I'm reading here from Inside the Hall, Penn State outscored Indiana 42 points on three-pointers. That is just an unbelievable statistic. So obviously keeping this Penn State team a little bit more reasonable at the long ball is going to be key tonight. And, you know, a college gymnasium, I know the Big Ten has some nice arenas, some nice gyms. The Bryce Jordan Center, obviously, I would think is a lot different backdrop than what Assembly Hall is. But I think they're much more conducive for shooters than the big Target Center, these NBA arenas and dome-type facilities. But we'll see. Interesting for sure if Penn State can shoot it at that clip again. And I think that is a big reason that they were able to be successful against Indiana both times. I never have thought Penn State was an outstanding team. But solid this year. Ace Baldwin is their key player, transfer in from VCU. He was named a few days ago the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. He was really good in both games against Indiana. He scored 22 points and had 8 assists in the game at Bloomington, and then he had 23 points and 9 assists at the game at Penn State. So, you know, again, he's going to be key as well. Three-point shooting for Penn State. Are they red hot? Can Indiana actually get out and defend that line a little bit better? And Ace Baldwin in his 20-plus point games against Indiana, keeping him at least slowed down a little bit, I think, are two obvious keys in this game tonight when Indiana and Penn State connect for the right to move on to Friday action at the Big Ten Conference Tournament. So I saw that both of these teams in the net ratings and some of the different computer formulas out there are very close. And I think I saw Pomeroy, I don't want to say for sure, but Pomeroy predicted maybe a one-point win for Penn State, like 76-75 was the projected score of the game, something like that. So everything out there from stats to matchups to looking at the last games to thinking about, you know, Indiana being a better team now, playing a little bit better, a little bit more consistent, everything points to this being a really competitive and good game tonight. But I still remain somewhat confident that Indiana is a winner tonight over Penn State and that the Nittany Lions will be unable to beat the Hoosiers for the third time this season. So another name to watch, Zach Hicks of Penn State. I want to mention him as well. He was 8 of 16 combined in the two games from three-point range. So when we talk about the Nittany Lions shooting the ball well, it's not just the big man Baldwin or the main man Baldwin. It's also Zach Hicks as well. Keep in mind, Indiana guard Xavier Johnson did not play in either of the first two games as well. And then also, you know, Trey Galloway, he had a foot injury in the second meeting, I believe it was, but was able to work through that and play. So that was some injury-type related information to the Indiana-Penn State series. It's on the game is on Fox Sports tonight. But Big Ten Network, excuse me, is where you can find the television broadcast. The stream is on Fox Sports, and of course we'll have the IU Radio Network broadcast. But yeah, the latest point spread I'm pulling up here, Penn State a 1.5-point favorite. I'm taking Indiana, and Penn State is number 77 in the Ken Pomeroy ratings, Indiana number 86 in those same ratings. And Penn State projected to win 76-75 tonight, according to the KenPom projected score. And just in case you're wondering, Indiana leads the all-time series with Purdue, 42 wins for the Hoosiers, 17 wins for the Nittany Lions. And we'll see if Indiana can add another win to that total tonight. Transfer portal, people starting to enter. That is really beginning to wind up. It's going to be something Indiana is going to be very active in. Don't think there's any question about that. The big key for Indiana is who, when the ball stops bouncing this season, who exits the program, and are they key names that Indiana really wants to retain? You can bet there are some players that Indiana could use the space to recruit and or go out and get some additional players from the portal, but there's key guys like Mbako and Renew that you want to make sure are coming back, because they will be big factors if they do return to Bloomington next season. But the first name out of the portal, we mentioned this yesterday, he's a Penn graduate transfer, 6'1" guard, and a great shooter. His name is Clark Slagert. I believe I'm pronouncing it correctly. He was second team all Ivy Conference by the coaches. He was second among players in scoring at 18 a game, and second in three-point field goals per game. He had almost three per game, and six in that conference in field goal shooting percentage at just above 42%. So he's the first of many. He's got a lot of schools. These graduate guys especially have a lot of schools that jump in on them. I think the list of schools that he's heard from is somewhere around 15-plus schools at this point. So we'll see how things settle down over the next couple weeks and who the serious contenders are. But it's time to start thinking about names from the portal. Obviously, graduate transfers first, and other players as well coming up beginning Monday. But we'll be interesting to see who Indiana targets, and a lot of competition for some of these guys, what Indiana's message can be and their NIL budget, what they can promise these guys. Obviously, we'll have a lot to do with who Indiana's able to get out of the portal. Thornton's text line, texter says, I'm excited about Indiana heading into the Big Ten tournament and feel like they can make a run, but if Galloway can't play, unfortunately, I feel like it's going to be cut short. That's obviously something to talk with Alex Bozich about in just a bit, about Galloway's health and his availability to play in the contest tonight. Want to talk a little bit about the Louisville job. You know, it is open. Obviously, some of the names that are surfacing early, and again, this is just very early, Scott Drew, Mick Cronin, Nate Oakes, Dusty May. There's been a whole list of names that have come out. Some make a lot of sense. Some are probably dream candidates for Louisville. But I do want to point this out. Obviously, Dusty May, with a connection to the IU program, former manager under Coach Knight. He was a video coordinator there as well. He worked his way through the college ranks as a Division I assistant at the mid-major level and finally got his own opportunity at Florida Atlantic. And obviously, he's capitalized on that. He took FAU to the Final Four last season. And I think it's easy to assume that Indiana is a dream situation for him. Obviously, with Mike Woodson coming back, the IU job is not going to be available this year. Does Dusty May hold out and wait a season to see how things unfold for Mike Woodson and crew? He's at Florida Atlantic. He's got his own gig. It's a beautiful campus, a beautiful place, lots of success. He obviously will be the coach there basically for the foreseeable future. He's earned that political capital there. But does he get serious this year after being courted the last season or two and look at better jobs and look at taking a Power 5 job like an Ohio State or a Louisville? Does he like Louisville better than Ohio State? I think it's possible he could become ultimately the candidate for both of those schools. And so what would be his choosing there? Or does he stay at Florida Atlantic and wait things out for the Indiana job? Because you can't tell me, if the job came open, and I hate to talk about a job that's not open, but if the job was open, you can't tell me that Dusty May would not be a natural fit and someone that would very much be considered. I think he checks off a lot of the boxes that Indiana maybe is missing or would like to have with the coach. And again, it's a tough thing because Mike Woodson, I think, deserves a fourth year. There are some concerns there, but you hate to see these jobs start turning over after two or three seasons. It's just a lot of work. It takes a lot of things to happen to pull a program together and get to a competitive level. And I'm talking about Indiana and Louisville when I say that. But when things are trending bad and ticket sales are going down and NIL money's not coming in, it's a new world. So athletic directors have to consider things that maybe just a few seasons ago really wouldn't be on the radar. When are we going to make an early coaching change here with somebody? But I do think it's going to be very interesting to watch what Dusty May does. Have no insight on Louisville or Ohio State, but he seems like he could be the guy for both of those programs. Does he go ahead and make a move now? Does he take advantage of one of these nice opportunities that's going to be well-funded and a step up from where he's at Florida Atlantic in resources and pay? Or does he hold tight with his own gig and see what happens with Mike Woodson next season? You can't tell me that Dusty May, an IU guy from Greene County, not far from Bloomington, you can't tell me that's not a thought in his mind right now to see how to play this thing. But will be interesting because I think, as I said, he could be ultimately the guy for both Louisville and Ohio State as they work through their searches over the coming weeks and month as well. All right, that's a look at our headlines for this Thursday edition of the show. We'll head to a commercial break. Alex Bozich inside the hall will join us in the next segment. We'll get into IU. We'll talk about Trey Galloway. We'll talk about the matchup tonight and get Alex's thoughts on things as Penn State and Indiana set to battle. 9 p.m. tip-off, 8 o'clock pregame coverage here on the Big X. Stay with us for Alex and more here on this Thursday show, The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Thursday program, game day for the Hoosiers. They open up the Big Ten Conference Tournament tonight in Minneapolis with a game against Penn State. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. If you have questions, comments for Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, who is with us right now for his weekly segment here on the show. Alex, I'm bullish on the Hoosiers. I just don't see Penn State beating Indiana for the third time of the season tonight. And this Indiana team has definitely been playing much improved basketball the last four or five games or so. And that's resulted in four victories, two at home, two on the road. Indiana had it hoping for a handful of games at minimum this week in Minneapolis.
Yeah, they've been playing well, which obviously it's good to see, you know, them finally playing some of their best basketball here as we get to the close of the season after that. I think it was a four-game losing streak, following that up with four straight wins. You know, the Penn State game, we didn't really know for sure who Indiana was going to play until later last night. So this morning, I spent some time and really started to dig into the matchup and kind of look at some of the, you know, the keys to the game. And it's interesting, you know, Penn State's not a team that typically makes a lot of threes, but in the two games against Indiana this regular season, they made a combined 21 threes, outscored Indiana from 42 points from beyond the three-point line, which is pretty significant margin. In both of those games, Ace Baldwin was terrific, and Zach Hicks, who had a really good game last night against Michigan, was good in both of those games. So, you know, it's hard to see a team beating somebody three times. At the same time, the way that Penn State beat Indiana the two games this season gives me a little bit of concern if I'm Indiana going into the game, simply because, you know, they scored 85 and 83 against them. So those are not numbers that Indiana is going to be able to win a game with. If Indiana is going to win, they need the game to be in the 60s, maybe the low 70s. They're not going to match Penn State point for point. So Hoosiers are going to have to be a lot better defensively tonight than the previous two matchups with Penn State if they're going to win. I agree with you that it is hard to beat a team three times, but the fact that Penn State played them so well in the regular season twice and kind of has it figured out how to score points, and you figure in the uncertainty with the Trey Galloway injury situation, I'm kind of going in looking at this one as kind of a 50-50, and I think that's kind of what the lines that I've seen, at least, to open up. I know Ken Palm's got it at one. I haven't looked at what the books have it at, but I would guess that this game going in is probably close to a pick'em.
Talking with Alex Bozich inside the hall, let's talk about the Galloway situation. What do we know at this hour headed into the game tonight about his availability or lack thereof?
You know, all we know publicly is what he said after the game the other day in terms of his senior speech. He said he was going to be ready for the game. Indiana did not do any pregame availability before tonight's game. Typically they'll have something before the Big Ten tournament, but really the last that we heard from anybody, the Indiana program was Sunday afternoon. Mike Woodson didn't do the radio show Monday night. They didn't have a radio show. And then there was no pregame availability. So we haven't had a chance really to ask kind of what the status was. Not that necessarily, I don't think we would have been given a clear answer one way or the other because they like to play those things close to the vest. But we've not heard anything publicly. You know, the way Galloway left the game the other day, didn't even try to come back in. You know, and the fact that it's a knee injury leads me to believe that they're going to be careful with that situation and make sure that it's not something where he would be able to risk further injury. I think there's been obviously some rumors and message board stuff out there, kind of the extent of the injury. But in terms of what's been confirmed or talked about publicly at this point, the program has not really said anything to this point. So we'll see if he's in uniform warming up later tonight in Minneapolis.
Alex, how important do you feel Galloway has been to Indiana's last four games, four victories here to close the regular season?
Oh, he's pivotal. I mean, they, you know, that Michigan State game, I was there watching that one. You know, I don't go to many games anymore, but I did make the trip up for the Michigan State game and was there for that game. And you could just see the first, you know, 7-8 minutes when they got out to that 20-5 lead, how important he was to what they were doing really on both ends of the court. And when he went out, how big of a difference it was. You know, they were a completely different team, and Michigan State, I thought, really, you know, outplayed them from that point on. But Indiana had built up a big enough lead, and obviously they got behind a little bit there in the second half, and credit to Khalil Ware for having an outstanding game. But yeah, I mean, Trey Galloway is pivotal to what Indiana does, particularly his playmaking offensively. He's got really good synergy with Khalil Ware in terms of getting him the ball, and defensively, I mean, he's obviously a pest on that end of the court. I mean, they're a much better team defensively with Trey Galloway and Xavier Johnson in the game as opposed to when they have to put Gabe Cupps or even Anthony Leal out on the court. So, you know, the one thing I will say that Indiana has a little bit going for it, a little bit different in these in this game against Penn State. They didn't have the first two matchups. Xavier Johnson did not play in either of the first two meetings between these two teams, and he's going to have to be a big contributor tonight because Ace Baldwin did whatever he wanted in the first two games this season against Indiana. I think, you know, he had at least 20 in both games. I think one game he had 7 or 8 assists. The other one he had 9. He's to me, one of the more underrated guards in the Big Ten. You don't hear a lot about him just because he's on Penn State, and obviously they're not a tournament team. They're, I think, 16-16. But Ace Baldwin was, you know, the Big Ten's Defensive Player of the Year. But I really like what he brings from an offensive perspective, his ability to change speeds, his strength, his ability to get into the lane. Indiana's going to have to be on top of that because he's really done whatever he wanted and the first two matchups. And Xavier Johnson is going to have to rise to the challenge and be able to play with Ace Baldwin for the Hoosiers to have a chance to win tonight.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. A couple texts I want to get to on the Thornton's text line. Texter says, if Trey can't play tonight, Cupps and Xavier and Gunn will need to take up the slack and not turn the ball over. Penn State has four really quick perimeter players who can all shoot. If we try to stay close to them on the perimeter, they will drive us and cause Ware to help. I guess we'll see just how much we've progressed. I think those are all good points, Texter. Thank you very much. And then another text mm-hmm. says, please ask Alex about postseason opportunities. So, Alex, I know obviously winning the Big Ten Conference cinches the tournament, cinches a NCAA tournament bid. I'm not sure Indiana is in that category or has a chance to do that. But does an appearance, if they won a few games and got to the championship, does that help them with the NCAA? Is there any path there in your estimation? And then going to the NIT as well, just kind of summarize postseason opportunities maybe for this Indiana team.
Yeah, I mean, just talking from an NCAA tournament perspective, I mean, Andy Bottoms, who I'm sure you're aware of from the Assembly Call, he does our bracketology over at Inside the Hall. He's the expert on that. I've not talked to him about it, not brought it up with him, but I've not seen any mention of Indiana anywhere on any of his brackets that he's really started doing since the new year. And, you know, we've kind of talked about the net ranking and how big of a problem it is for Indiana. So I'm going in this into the Big Ten tournament under the assumption that Indiana would have to win the Big Ten tournament to get in. And, you know, people have asked me, you know, what happens if they get to Friday? What happens if they get to Saturday? What happens if they get to Sunday? I mean, obviously, I think at minimum they got to get to the weekend to even have a thought of getting into the conversation. But honestly, you know, if they don't win, most of the bracketing is done over the weekend anyway. So I would think going into Sunday's game, let's say they made it to the final of the Big Ten tournament or any of these Big Ten teams that are kind of on the outside looking in, maybe one's not named Iowa or Ohio State, but anyone else that's kind of a little bit off the bubble, I think what the committee would do at that point is just come up with a contingency bracket in terms of if this team wins the Big Ten tournament, here's where we're putting them. If they lose, they're out. I just don't see Indiana with their net ranking and their metrics getting in without winning the Big Ten tournament. As for the NIT, obviously that's a different conversation. You know, there's been some mock brackets that have come out for that. You know, if you like to look at that sort of thing. That Indiana's been in. I don't know in terms of the program what their interest is in playing in the NIT. I mean, I guess there's two schools of thought. You know, you play in it maybe from the perspective of it gives you a chance to kind of extend your season and end on a positive note. The NIT finals this year are in Hinkle Fieldhouse, so it'd be a chance to kind of play locally if they were able to get there. The other school of thought would be NIT really doesn't, in the grand scheme of things, mean anything, and you're taking kind of away time that you could be using towards the transfer portal. But, you know, I think if Indiana beats Penn State tonight, I think they would have a pretty good chance to get in the NIT, and whether or not they would want to play in it, you know, they've not said anything publicly about that. But, you know, the one thing that I have thought about a little bit is, you know, I know Mike, the times are a lot different now from when Mike Woodson played, but I know that it's something he's talked about a lot was that, I think it was the 1980 season where they, I think, made the NIT. It was like Woodson's senior year, I believe. And then they ended up, Indiana ended up the next season, I think, winning the national championship in 81. But obviously that was a lot different. A lot fewer teams made the NCAA tournament that year in those times. And really, the NIT, I mean, I've covered it before. Tom Crean's last season, they played down in Georgia Tech and went down for that game. It's just not an event that many people care about or get excited about. Everyone's worried about the NCAA tournament. So, you know, I think it's a lose-lose situation by playing in it, because if you play in it and get beat, people are, you know, going to say, wow, you just got an NIT and you got beat. And if you win the NIT, it's like, who really cares or celebrates that? You know, the difference kind of in the way of thinking there would be for a program that's on the rise and still trying to establish itself, has never had any historical success, like the IU women used it, you know, kind of earlier there in Terry Moran's tenure. They won the women's NIT, and that really helped propel their program, helped them in recruiting. And that was a springboard for them. But for Indiana men's basketball, you know, it's hard to say that playing in the NIT would really be all that beneficial in the grand scheme of things. But who knows? I mean, we don't make those decisions. We'll see what happens. And obviously, if they make it and they get in it, we'll talk about it and cover it. But I just don't see it as an event that people are all that interested in watching or following.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. He's with us Thursdays on the show. Alex, I just saw that Oklahoma State has parted ways with Mike Boynton. So another position open, another job open on the coaching carousel. We talked some earlier today on the show about Kenny Payne out at Louisville. I know that obviously has nothing to do with Indiana or the Big Ten, but I do want to get your thoughts on that, that job. How coveted of a job will that be? And do you think that Dusty May, a former IU manager and Bob Knight disciple and video coordinator for a few seasons, do you think that he will be someone the Cardinals could really target, and maybe Ohio State really target him as well?
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously a name that maybe was a little hotter a year ago based on what they did and going to the Final Four, but all it's going to take is them getting in the tournament and winning a couple more games. I think his name gets kind of right back up there on some of those lists. I mean, he's definitely a young guy that's on the rise. You know, I don't know him personally, but I've heard a lot of good things just about how he is in terms of dealing with, you know, the fan base and the media. He seems like a great guy and somebody, I think, from a PR perspective that would be able to check a lot of the boxes. I think just kind of what you're seeing initially out of some of these lists, that Louisville is going to take some bigger swings first, and then maybe they fall back on a guy like Dustin. I mean, not to say that he's should be a guy you fall back on, but, you know, you hear names like Scott Drew throwing out Billy Donovan. Who knows how realistic any of those things are? I mean, thinking back to the Indiana coaching search a couple of years ago, everything was talking about Brad Stevens, and Indiana's got to go after Brad Stevens. Obviously, they end up with Mike Woodson. So, you know, it's an interesting situation. I still think it's a really good job. A lot of work to do there in terms of just kind of getting the program back on its feet. I know that they went through a lot with the probation, and Kenny Payne struggled there. You know, I thought the biggest mistake that he made just from running that program was honestly the staff that he hired. You know, Danny Manning, we kind of saw him a couple of years ago at Maryland, kind of before Kevin Willer got there. You know, remember when Turgeon quit and Danny Manning took over the rest of the season? Just, I didn't think did a very good job there, and obviously was at Wake Forest before. Nothing against Danny Manning personally. I just, you know, he wouldn't have been my pick to help me run the program. And doesn't seem like, based on some of the other reporting that's come out, that Nolan Smith and Kenny Payne had the best relationship either. So it's really important to put together a great staff, whoever you hire. And I was disappointed just for Kenny Payne, because I know how much he loves the Louisville basketball program, winning a national championship there. And I know he tried everything he could to kind of get that program going again. But obviously, if you win 12 games in two seasons, the patience is going to be pretty thin. And they've chosen to move on. And, you know, it'd be good to see them get back on the right track. I mean, I think, you know, where we live, Matt, and we've grown up in this part of the country, and you and I have talked basketball for a long time. And, you know, it's good that when Indiana and Louisville and Kentucky are all competitive and good year in, year out, it's never good to see these programs not making the NCAA tournament. I mean, Kentucky now has held up its end of the bargain for a long time, but Indiana and Louisville have, you know, really been, you know, up until, you know, the last 4 or 5 years, Louisville had been really an elite program, and they've kind of fallen off. So it'd be good to just kind of have all three programs playing at a high level and winning games. Because to me, you know, people talk about North Carolina as a great college basketball market, but look at the ratings every year for the NCAA tournament. Like right here where we are, this is where the most eyeballs are on the sport. This is where people care the most about college basketball, is this Louisville, the Southern Indiana area. And I'll be excited, you know, watching to see what Louisville does with the job, and hopefully they get it right. And as I said, hopefully Indiana can get things going back in the right direction, and we can have three strong programs here in this part of the country.
All right, Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Alex, I'm gonna put you here for a prediction. Give us your serious thoughts on the game tonight. How does it go? How does it turn out for the Hoosiers in this Big Ten tournament opener?
Yeah, I see Penn State winning. I just think it's hard to be confident from just kind of how Indiana played them the two games in the regular season. Penn State's already got a game under its belt last night. The Zach Hicks kid, it was really good last night, made six threes, played really well, against Indiana in the regular season. If I knew for sure that Trey Callaway was going to play and be 100%, then I think my prediction would be that Indiana would win. But since I don't know that, and since the last that we saw of Trey Callaway was him being hurt, it's hard for me to project Indiana going into this game and winning if he's not at 100% or right close to it. So I think, you know, Penn State wins in a close one, but, you know, I could honestly see it going either way as well. You know, if Indiana comes out and Xavier Johnson plays well defensively and they can keep their bigs out of foul trouble, it would not be a shock at all to see Indiana move on either.
All right, Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. He's with us Thursdays here on the show. Alex, enjoy Big Ten Conference basketball. Enjoy March Madness, and we'll talk next week with the NCAA tournament beginning the next time we talk.
Absolutely, Matt. Thank you for having me, and have a good rest of your day.
All right. Alex Bozich with us Thursdays on the show, one of the original guests on this show, and a great voice to tell you the very latest with IU basketball each Thursday here on the Hoosier Report. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back to talk about Jeffersonville headed to Newcastle in the 4A South semi-state, and some other high school basketball topics coming up. Steve Kerberg, former coach in the area, joins the show next. Stay with us here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back to our Thursday show. Thornton's text line is still open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. We go now to Steve Kerberg, former head coach in the area, great friend of basketball in this show. And we talk Jeffersonville basketball headed to the semi-state under Sharon Wilkerson. The Red Devils, Steve, I feel are really coming together. They have had an outstanding tournament run, obviously. It's not just where they're at, where they've advanced to. It's how they've won a lot of these games, especially going back to the sectional where they really were not challenged. But things are going to be different this weekend. I think Jeff has a chance, but Steve, they are going to take on really, really good competition, starting with Lawrence North in a semifinal game.
Absolutely. I think you have to go back a couple years when we talk about this topic to when Jeffersonville hired Coach Wilkerson. You know, it's a time of the year where coaches are fired or let go, or, you know, rumors of coaches being replaced, and you hear about good hires or bad hires, great hires, but then there's home run hires, and we were talking off air, and I think Coach Wilkerson was just the perfect fit for that program. Jeffersonville alumni, played at high levels, of course, at IU and professionally around the world. But the way that he, loves his kids, and the way that he shows discipline, but also just the kids know that he loves them, is very, very special. And that you know, also with the high level of basketball IQ, they run great stuff offensively. They are really guarding people, and he has a great coaching staff too. Coach Lowry, Fitzgerald, Coach Miles, our good friend. They have a great coaching staff. And a way, I think, to kind of look at that is the culture that they've already developed there is just wonderful. They're a fun team to watch, and from a distance, man, they seem like great kids, man. And I think a lot of that goes to Coach Wilkerson and his staff. They've done a phenomenal job. As far as the tournament goes, to win a 4A state championship, you think back to class basketball. I mean, before class basketball, you know, if you're Jeffersonville, you're playing some smaller schools, you know, to win a sectional, and then you go to regional and you're playing against 4A competition. Well, now you have to beat all 4A teams just in your sectional. So you're playing New Albany's and Jennings County's and Bedford's, the teams that you used to play in the regional. So now with class basketball, the 4A tournament's so difficult. And then you have the one game regional, which makes it a little better, I guess, but then you go to Newcastle and you play four powerhouses there, you know, with Ben Davis and Center Grove and Lawrence North and Jeffersonville, you know, story programs, incredible competition, and incredible facility to watch a game and to get to experience that. So I'm excited about Jeffersonville's opportunity. Heard somebody say the other day, you know, when opportunity meets preparation, you know, great things can happen. And They've definitely prepared all season with their schedule, and now they have the opportunity to do something great.
You know, we talk so much about that schedule, some of the holiday tournaments, traveling up to Central Indiana to take on different teams, really good teams and players. One thing is for sure, Lawrence North might be the better team. I'm not sure they might have as much or more talent than the Red Devils. That's probably debatable. But one thing is, I don't think this Jeffersonville group will be intimidated at all when they step on that big stage. Yeah, there'll be more people there, and it's bigger than some of the other places they've played this season. But I just don't think that going up against a Ben Davis or a Lawrence North or someone at Center Grove, who they played in the regular season, really will bother or affect this team as it might be some, because that's kind of what they've done throughout the year.
Totally agree. You know, the benefits of playing a difficult schedule at times during the season, you may question it. You may get down or discouraged if you're a true competitor. You may wonder if it's good or bad for your guys. But when you're playing, when you have a group that you think can make a run, I think you're playing the long game, you know, and it's preparing you for those games in the tournament. And I couldn't agree more. When they've played the best of the best across the state, it's going to be another game for them. And I'm not saying it because I consider Coach Wilkerson a friend, or even the guys on the staff, I consider them friends too. But I genuinely believe that they are a well, well-coached team, and they're going to have a great game plan. And Jeffersonville is impressive offensively because they can play fast, but they can also play great in the half court. And like I said, man, they are really guarding people and really bought into the defensive end of the floor.
I agree. Steve Kerberg, he's with us Thursday. Coach, have a great day. We'll talk with you soon.
Hey, man, make sure you tell Justin that the Indiana tournament's way better than Kentucky.
Thank you for that. We already discussed that this week. Great point, though. That wraps it up for today. Be back with you Friday on the show. IU Penn State tonight, 9 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.